and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and he said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes."
We just ask for the next few moments that you fill this vessel with more of you and less of me, that you would open all of our ears to hear what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get into this, just two really quick things. First was this Wednesday, it wasn't mentioned, but this Wednesday in CI, Pastor James and Jill will be speaking in the back. So if you have nothing going, I'm sorry, this Thursday, if you have nothing going, feel free to stop in and see what they bring. I love it when people are stepping up all over the place, sharing God's Word and teaching His Word and getting excited about His Word. Second thing, is Gloria Crocker here? Can you stand, Gloria? All right. Your great-granddaughter is a 2-pound baby, is that right? Very small, 3 months early. So if I could have a few of the ladies around, Gloria, just put your hands on her shoulder. And if everybody else could just put your hands towards her, we're going to pray for that baby and for that mom. So Heavenly Father, we just lift up Gloria to you. We thank you for her and the heart she has for her daughter and the heart she has for that grandbaby, that little 2-pound baby. Lord, we just pray for that baby, its growth, its development, that would happen as you would have it. I pray that in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for a spirit of peace to come to mom. Father, I pray for wisdom to come to those doctors as they deal with that baby. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Well, we are entering into Holy Week this day. So before I even jump into this message, I just want to encourage you to let this week be a special week. To avoid distractions as best as possible, to put a focus, I would encourage you to consider fasting somewhere, some way, somehow throughout this week. Whatever God lays on your heart. That you would remember that this is a holy week. So that the week does not pass you by and become just another event. But that you would embrace all that took place 2,000 years ago for you and me today. I pray that in Jesus' name. Before I get into the message, I usually paint a little backdrop, or I oftentimes paint a little backdrop. Let me paint a little front drop. I don't know if that's the right word. If it's not, we just created one today. But the front drop of what happens today is what's going to happen on what the church calls Maundy Thursday, where Jesus goes to the garden. And he makes the final decision to do what he's going to do. The decision's really been made, but his humanity is catching up with the spirit of the thing, and his humanity is making the decision to drink from the cup of the wrath of God that he has been called to drink from. Now, if I paint a little backdrop, I'm going to go back to the major event that took place before Jesus came riding in on a donkey. So the backdrop is, he just did one of the greatest miracles, well, probably the greatest miracle known to man until he did what he did for himself, and that was he brought Lazarus who was dead 4 days, back to life. So he was known throughout the land. Let's not mistake about that. It wasn't just a couple of people that knew him. It was the whole realm of Jerusalem. And any Jew that came into that place, they knew about Jesus. Just be really clear about that. And that was a revelation that came to me this week, a little deeper than normal. But they knew who Jesus was. There was no doubt. Trouble was, their knowing was all up here. They didn't know the extent of who he was, but they knew of him. He's done too many miracles. He's preached too many sermons. And this last sermon of raising Lazarus from the dead rocked the world of the Jew of that day. And it affects us here today. So let me begin with Luke 19:29. It says, "And it came to pass, when he came near Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples." And then I'm going to speak to a prophecy here. So this will be five little points I give you. But the first has to do with prophecy. To me, this is the great miracle that took place. I love how God works. I love how he works. So when I see this first prophecy, it comes from Zechariah 9:9. And you all have heard this scripture before. But it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was given some 400 or 500 years before the event took place. And I have to make a confession. I said to Pastor Tim, and I think I said it to a couple other pastors, when the topic came up, I said, "Oh, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day. It's like, they're so hard. It's kind of the same thing all over." And I said this to them, and they knew what I was saying. But when I said it to my wife, she gave me a look. Her beautiful blue eyes went like this. And she says, "No, it's not the same old thing. He has new mercies for us every day. His word is alive, and it is fresh." I really don't like beating myself up, but that one, it actually brought a tear to my eye, and I was quickened in my spirit. So for the next 30 years or whatever it's going to be, you're going to hear the Palm Sunday message, and it's going to be new and fresh when it comes to your ears. You're going to hear the story of the resurrection on Sunday. You're going to hear about Good Friday and what price was paid for you and me. And we're going to hear about the birth of Jesus. And in there somewhere, we might even mix in a happy Mother's Day and a happy Father's Day for you. Because God gives us something new every day. He gives us new stuff. Luke 19:30 says, "Going into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, and they found just as he said, it said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? Or loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks and clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him." New revelation I got. Remember? Nothing is old. God reveals new things. And I'm looking at this scripture, and I'm seeing that the miracle was the prophecy given, like I said. Because when they said to the owner of the colt, the Lord has need of him, to me that was less miraculous, because the owner was probably a Jew and probably knew about Jesus and probably even saw him as Lord, at least up here. That's how well-known he was in that day. So to me, that was less. Of course he's going to, "Oh, the Lord, Jesus has need of him. I'll get you the horse. I'll get you the donkey, I mean. And you can do what you need to do." And in Matthew, it says they even told him they'd bring the thing back. I never saw that before like that. I see it that way today. The miracle was in the prophetic word where God says, this is what's going to happen 500 years from now. That's the miracle. That's the thing I can't understand. How does he know? Because God is all-knowing. And what about it hasn't happened yet? How does he get that? Because time has no effect on God. He is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting. He's not bound by time like you and I are. He sees it before it happens. That's just the way it is. That's the way it'll be for us when we're up in heaven. Wow, that got me excited. You should all be a little bit excited about that. In Luke 18:31 it says, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them," now I'm going back a chapter, "he said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all these things that are written by the prophet concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." All right, Luke is talking about something he knows about because it was revealed to him, one, by the Spirit of God, but two, by the prophecies that were given from Isaiah. I love the prophecies. That's the miraculous thing that goes on. So I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to share some prophecies here. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Listen to this prophecy. He says, in Isaiah 5:1, and I just need to share this prophecy. I'm going to come back to the scripture later, but it says, I'm going to go to verse Isaiah 5, chapter 5. "And now, please, let me tell you what I do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down." And then when he talks about that, he says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant." And the reason why I'm sharing that with you right now is that is a prophecy given about what's going on with Israel. And what's happening at this moment in time is Jesus is coming in, and he's going to gaze over the Mount of Olives before he enters into Jerusalem. And we're going to talk about his weeping and how that's having an effect on him, how it's impacting him. But the reality is, he knows what's happening. He knows what's going to happen. And it is going to be a judgment upon Israel. That's what he knows is going to happen. Because he knows. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end, like I said before. He knows. We need to trust in that. That prophecy has to do with Israel and what God is going to do concerning Israel. And he also knows what's going to happen to him. He knows the price he's going to have to pay, and we're going to hear about how he wrestles with that. But till then, he is riding into Jerusalem, and it goes like this. In verse 37 of chapter 19, it says, "Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, a whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." So I said they've seen too much. They know who he is, and they begin to sing, much like our worship here. What's the worship here? Glory to God in the highest. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We glorify his name. That's what they did, because they had a bit of an understanding of who he was. But his plan was far beyond that kind of praise from that kind of understanding. He came with a purpose. And that purpose we're going to speak about throughout this week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 19:41, it says, oh, I'm sorry. Let me get back. That's what happens when you get out, a little bit out of order. As he's coming in and hearing these praises, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Okay, that was Luke 19:39. But he answered and he said to them, "I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." All right, and that comes back to Habakkuk and a few other Old Testament scriptures that talks about the stones crying out. And a lot of people think that when the stones cry out, that is creation worshiping God, and it could be, but that's not how I see it. I see it as man, if not worshiping God, and the stones crying out is placing judgment upon man for not worshiping God. So when that phrase that the stones will cry out, that's a big deal statement. In other words, he's saying, I am the King. I am the coming King. I am the Christ. I am the Savior. And this worship should be. And if you don't, the stones will cry out in judgment against you for not knowing what you should have known because of the scriptures that God had given. Wow. I should have known because of the scriptures that were given. Do you know as a child growing up, I should have known so much more because of the teachings I received as a little kid? Do you know I should have had an understanding better of God because of nuns that would either love on me and tell me about Jesus' word or spank me in front of the class when I was out of order or whatever? There was enough of the word of God given to me that I should have known. Same is true here. They should have known. The rocks will cry out. Here's what's going on. As Jesus is coming into town on the donkey, on the colt of a donkey, which was prophesied in Zechariah, people are yelling, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And they are excited and they're giving him this praise. The Pharisees want them to stop this stuff. Stop it. Be quiet. Don't say that. Rebuke them for saying what they're saying. It's blasphemy. All these things are going through their heads. And I got this from a brother this week who shared it with me, and I just need to share it with you. In John, it talks about cutting palm branches down and laying palm branches down before him, waving palm branches. And the picture that was given to me about palm branches is how flexible they are and how they're, you know, I can go like this, and the palm branches go like this, and if the wind blows, they go like this. Really not sturdy. And what a picture of that is, of the hearts of the people giving him the worship. And you'll know better on Friday what, you know, how that praise, that wavering by the wind, by the emotion of praise, changes to another chanting and shouting of crucify him. It's significant to get that because we know that in 3 days, Jesus is not going to be receiving the praise of the people. He's going to be on a cross, a rigid, firm, unbending, relentless, punishing cross that all these people who knew who Jesus was put there. Now, I want to be clear. I believe that there were a number, a remnant of people who knew Jesus and had an idea as to who he truly was, not to the depth that they'll find out after Pentecost, but they knew that this Jesus was a righteous man, and they even believed that he was the Messiah, but they didn't have a full concept of what the Messiah was going to be. They were looking for maybe something a little different than their Messiah, but they're decent people, they're godly people. But the crowd, the vast majority, are yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. And the cross has no emotion but wrath. Verse 41. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. What is going on there? He knew forever that he was going to do this mission. What is happening? Why is he weeping? He's weeping because he knows. God knows. Jesus knows. He's standing on the Mount of Olives and he looks across the people, across the city. And he knows the hearts of the wicked men that will put him on that cross. This is not about what the price he has to pay. This is about lost people who he loves dearly. This is about people who are yelling, crucify him 4 days from now, who he loves dearly. He loves them, he loves them, he loves them, and they don't know it. If I made application today, and I said, this is the scripture that hits me the most, it's this one right here. Do I really know what I think I know? Do I really believe what I say I believe? Do I really see him as the Son of God, made man, come to take away my sins? I get stuff on a level, but do I get it on the level that he's bringing it? And here, people who are just yelling, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, who are going to yell, crucify him as I go to the front drop, are showing us that they didn't really know. They set an expectation that was different than what his purpose was. Pastor Jerry tells me all the time, check your expectations at the door. Things are different than what you might think, and if they don't add up to what I think, I get upset. Same thing is going on here. They have an expectation. They believe that he was the Messiah, but they believe that he was coming as a conquering king, that he was going to conquer those who oppressed them, that he was going to conquer Rome. That's what they got excited about. Here comes the king, Hosanna in the highest. Glory to God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The king of Israel is going to wipe out Rome, is what they're thinking. He's coming as a conquering king for sure. But Rome has really nothing to do about what he's about. Not right now. This isn't about Rome. He's going to conquer something greater than Rome. He's going to conquer something more powerful than Rome. He is coming to conquer sin and death. And they never knew it and they never got it. Why did he come? He came to conquer sin and death. Why did he come to do that? Because he loves us. He loves Israel. He loves his people. He loves the vineyard and he loves the grapes. And the grapes turn sour and he still loved them. It says in Isaiah chapter 43, it talks about that. He loves you and me and we're sour. We've let him down. We've made mistakes because of our humanity. And yet he still loves us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Glory to God. The love is greater than what we know, and do we even know it today? Do you know today that God loves you in spite of your sin? He came to defeat shame. And you know what? He was successful. He came to defeat guilt. And you know what? He was successful. So don't pick up guilt and don't pick up shame because it was defeated. But we're human. We're human. Just like they were human. And we don't fully get it sometimes. When we get it, I get it for you, Kevin. I get the thing. You shouldn't feel guilt. You shouldn't feel shame. I'm dialed in. But you've heard many testimonies in this place where other people, they don't believe it's for them. It is so for you. It is so for me. That's what he did at the cross. And never, ever diminish what he did on the cross. Don't diminish it. Don't say it wasn't enough for me because you're saying what he did was insufficient. It was enough. Don't say your sin is bigger than he is. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is not true. His blood, his shed blood, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. I can't sing, but you got it like your other, right? Of the Lamb. There's power in the blood. That's why I like being around the church ladies, the old ones from three generations ago. They're still making it through life, you know? They plead the blood of Jesus. That is just morbid. Blood over, yes. I'm going to be around that. Pray for me. Plead the blood over me. Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Not only that, the blood cleanses. There's power. It's a powerful cleaner. Power in the blood. We got to grasp that. They didn't see any of that. No, they saw what was in front of them like we do. Today we see is what's in front of us. They didn't see why he came. He was going to beat up Rome, who was beating up them. That's what they saw. What they really don't get is, in the end, he loves Rome just like he loves them. How about that? Well, I don't understand that kind of love. I don't get it. Yeah, well, I don't either. But that's a big God with big love. Had they known. But that's not what happened. Instead, their eyes were hidden from these things, it says in the next verse. Verse 42, it says, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for you peace, make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And I think that's probably the greatest thing we don't know today, is the peace of God. It's a hard thing to get when the circumstances get so great. We see the mountain, we see the circumstance, we see the stuff in our eyes, but we don't see with eyes of faith sometimes. And when we see with eyes of faith, we go to the place where, God, I trust you with this. I trust you with this. And even if it doesn't go like I think it should go, or I hope it goes, I'm going to trust you in that anyway, because you're bigger than time. I know these are really hard things I'm saying, but he is bigger than our circumstance. He is bigger than the breath of life that we are. But he's got us. I've heard some horrible things that have happened throughout the course of my time here as a pastor. And I'm speaking over the last 20, 30 years. And when we were doing youth ministry, horrible things have happened. And they're heartbreaking. And I don't understand. Well, can I come to the place where I trust when I don't understand? Because he is who he says he is? Can I change my expectation and know that he's working all things together for good, that know God, that are called according to his purpose? Can I come to that place? For this day and this hour and this time, the crowd couldn't. They couldn't get it. And so it says it was hidden from them. When we don't see God as God, and we make him lighter and less than what he is, we're blind. And that's the course that we're going to follow, and that course leads to depravity. The words, I never knew you, scare me. And the words, I never knew you, are really about us not knowing him. His heart's desire is to know you, because you've made yourself known to him. Why do I rant about CR every Thursday on Thursdays? I know you're all tired now. I know some of you are tired of hearing about it. I rant about it because I get things revealed to me that get me past my blindness. And those revelations clear up some things I need to have cleared up. I see truth better. That's what I get when I go there. On Thursday. That's what I get when I get into some of those studies. It helps me. The other thing that helps me, more than anything, more than that, what I just talked about with CR, more than that, is when I delve into the Word of God and I do a deeper study on it. And by the way, I'm no saint. I do it because I have to do it, otherwise I'm going to be a fool up here. All the things he reveals to me are glorious. It is fun. It is exciting to be in his word and have things come at me that reveal to me who he is. That excites me. When I know that, I trust him better. My expectations become less because I trust his expectations. Actually, my expectations become greater. I just know that I don't know what they are. I mean, let me put it to you this way. God is... When I study his word, I know him better. He reveals things to me better. And I don't have to worry about expectations because he's got it covered. So now I'm operating in peace. Peace. That's what he wants. Take my yoke. Take my burden. Cast your cares upon me, says the Lord. Because he cares for us. Those things come into play. And I know him better. And then maybe when I'm standing at the judgment, which won't be for a very long time, he's going to say, aren't you glad you knew me when you were down there? Aren't you glad you opened your eyes and you saw me? Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God revealed me to you? Yes, 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 yes! I'm glad, I'm so glad! Beautiful thing happened out of this whole thing. when I talk in terms of prophecy. I'm going to just read these to you. And then Pastor James, if you and your team could come up, that would be great. I said at the beginning that God knows the beginning from the end. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make the way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And then I'm going to jump down to verse 49:6, and it says, "I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth." The not knowing who Jesus truly was for the world of the Jew was such a glorious thing for us, because God turned his eyes to the Gentiles for a time, and that's the time we live in today, that we would be able to say, "I know him." Glory to God that now I say, "I know Jesus. Here's how I know him. He's my Savior." What's he Savior from? From condemnation, from judgment, for eternity. That's my Savior. I know him. You know, I talk to him. I know him so well, I talk to him. I talk to him on a first name basis. Jesus, it is in your name I pray. You know what he does? He takes me to the Father. The Bible says that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. So it is in your name I pray, Jesus. Gives me access to the Father. When I don't even know what to say, he gives me his Comforter, his Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in about 3 weeks. The Spirit of God begins to stir in my heart and reveal things to me. He reveals to me more about who Jesus is, and he reveals to me more about what I should say. Even when I'm talking to him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Before I speak this is not a boast. This is a desperation of the result of insecurity and fear. But I go through Ephesians chapter 6, and I go through 10, and I share this with lots of people, and I tell them, I give them the same sheet, and I say, "Go over this." It tells me at first what I war against. But then it tells me what armor to put on because of what comes against me. But in the end, and it says, it talks about the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And so I go to that place, and I pray in the Spirit. And when I pray in the Spirit, I'm operating in full trust. It's the best kind of prayer. I don't have to think. I don't give them mundane, routine things. I'm in the Spirit. And the Bible says that when you do that, that the Spirit of God is petitioning the Father with groans and moans on your behalf. That's the kind of prayer I want. And it's for what I need, not what I want. And what I need is more revelation in my life from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who came in on the foal of a donkey, not as the conquering king that was going to demolish Rome, but on a donkey. He came in humility. He was humble, and his strength was in his humility. And now I get it, and now I see it. Why? Because the Spirit of God revealed it to me by his word. But it was hidden from the eyes of the Jew for a time, and the time is for us, Gentiles. A Gentile, remember, if you will, we talked about this before, but they're non-Jewish people. And we live in this age where he is speaking to us by his Spirit and by his word. And he is calling out to you to see him as the true King of Kings and the true Lord of Lords. Not one that's going to accomplish my purposes, but one who is bent on accomplishing his good purpose, which is for my good benefit and for yours. This is a holy week that we celebrate. It's a marker for what Christ has done, what he has paid for you and I, and who he is. And we need to grasp onto that. Grasp onto that marker, remember it, honor it, and grow while you search it out, is the prayer in Jesus' name. If you don't know him, and your eyes have been blinded. You've diminished God to a decent guy, a decent thing, maybe a decent person. Maybe Jesus was a good teacher, and you minimized him. And you now know that, no, it's bigger than that. He is the Creator. He Himself is God. Who worked when He was here on earth in submission to the Father. As revealed to Him by the Spirit of God, you never separate God. And you don't see Jesus as God. And you want to take care of that business today, that your eternity not be one put on hold and you set off to the side because you don't believe. You're not going to be like the chaff instead of the wheat. You're going to be more like the goats instead of the sheep, which is eternal condemnation apart from God. And you want to settle that today and say, I want the assurance of my salvation because of what Christ has done. You've never done that before. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right where you're at. We're going to pray for you. We're going to close this service off. Is there anybody? You've never done that before, and you say, yep, today is the day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Why? Because the Spirit of God might not be speaking to you like He's speaking to your heart right now. If your heart's going like this, and you don't want to stand up, and you don't want to raise your hand, but you know you have to, that's the Spirit of God. Really. I would respond to that. Because the spirit of the enemy is giving you peace. Spirit of the enemy isn't making you feel those things. Spirit of God revealing something to you. The spirit of the enemy is trying to hinder you from going that place. This is a big deal. Is there anybody that needs to do that thing? Just slip your hand up so I can see it. I'm going to pray for you. In this holy week.
Pour out our praises, your breath. We pour out our praise, pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Okay. We're all good? Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand for those who struggle with understanding the depth of who Jesus is in terms of forgiving your sin, regardless of what it is, restoring you, regardless of what you have done, diminishing Him by a lack of believing. If any of those three are yours, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. This is really not trusting God to be all that He is. Two things, we say it a lot here, but there's two things that have come across in Scripture. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Then another was, Lord, increase our faith. So for those standing, you're in a really good place. Because my prayer for me is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Lord, increase my faith. I want my faith in you to be bigger than my fear apart from you. I want to be bigger than the fear that comes at me day by day. Think in those terms. Does anybody else need to stand? Feel free. We're just going to pray together. Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name for revelation to come to each person standing. That each person begin to see you for who you are. Not what we've created you to be in our minds, but for who you truly are. Help us to see that in Jesus' name. And Father, when our faith is weak and fear rises up, I bind fear in Jesus' name and ask for you to increase my faith, that I might trust in you more. I pray that for each and every person standing, myself included, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we prepare to leave this place, I pray that by the holy power of your Holy Spirit, you begin to reveal and reveal and reveal to us more of who you are. who you truly are by your word and by your spirit. And help me to receive that and believe that and know that more. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And my last call, because I just feel compelled, for any standing with unrepentant sin, sin that you haven't given over to God, but sin that you carry. This is not for anybody to know, just between you and God, that you would stand even right now and say, God, and you're going to do this in your spirit, I give you my sin. I give you the sin that I haven't confessed, and I confess it to you now. Set me free, cleanse me from it, and help me walk in you better. That's you, stand along with these others. Once again, I'm standing. Remember, I'm the guy that said, oh, it's the same old thing. God, forgive me for making light. Anybody else need to stand? So we'll just take a moment. Pastor James is going to lead us in a worship song, and then he'll dismiss us. But while you're standing, I'm going to ask that you just begin to give that over to Christ. Give him your sin. You can also give him your cares. That's you. Stand up and give him your cares. Give him your junk. Give him your pain. Give him your hurt. That's what he's asking of you. That's what he's asking of me. Amen?